So I would like to invite to Isabel to start our Dharma sharing. Hopefully that you have a peaceful walk and meditation. So, dear friends, today is January 8, 2011, our first month of mindfulness. Being together, 2011 had been passed 7 days. So not this day yet. I think we grow a little bit older. Mature in physical, but I don't know whether our wisdom mature or not. Sometimes our physical is mature too much, but our wisdom is still too young to go along with the body. We practice in such a way that we bring awareness to our moment to moment, our everyday life, so that our wisdom can give birth. It's important. Don't let the day go by without any moment of awareness. In the evening chanting, the last part of the chanting, we say that the day had passed by. And and our life had been getting shorter. Ngày nay đã qua đời, sống ngắn lại, hãy nhìn cho kỹ. We invite every practitioner to look deeply. The day has passed by, our life had passed. Get shorter, please look deeply what you have done. What you have done here is the koan. Is the a moment of your life? You have draw deeply and see in touch with yourself. You know what I mean? So every day in the morning chanting and in the evening chanting, in the Vietnamese version, traditional version, we have that at the end. So that provoke everybody to wake up and look deeply into your life. Because I say this here, we have our mother, one of our Marianne, mother, 91 years old, just passed away. And it's very, look very much like you. You see, you are your mother continuations. When I look at this picture during the meditation, I say, it's exactly as and we are very much our, like our mother and our father. But sometimes we try to get away from that. We don't want to be alike. I have one of the Vietnamese member come and see me, and member come tell me, say that when we say that our daughter is very much like us, and I'm gonna say I don't want to be like you because you are not beautiful. So that's hurt. And so we have to be mindful when we say things. We are the imprint of our mother and our father, whether you like it or not. So you have to reconcile with that. Sometimes you say that our mother is too short, our father is short, I want to be higher. Mm-hmm. Grow higher. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we have that kind of idea unwanted in us. You might not say it to your mom and your dad, but that kind of seed has been planted in you. So we have a barrier in us, some kind of barrier in us. And that barrier blocking us from our mother, our father, blocking our communications. And we cannot live harmony within ourselves and with our mother. You see, and that blocking us from our own joy and happiness. So you have to practice in a such way so that you can reside that, reconcile that, and be harmonious with yourself in order to be peace in yourself. If whether you reject or not, it's the reality that you are the imprint of your mother and your father. Right? And we should be happy so that we are like our mother, our father. I don't know why I don't have any picture of my mother. My mother passed away when I was 3. So I don't know that how my mother looked like. But when I walk, I say thanks to my mother. Every time I say thanks, Mom, that you have given me this body. And I know that many good seeds you have been transmitted to me. And I relate that to the Mother Earth also, because my mother is very much related to the Earth. So I walk and I say thanks to the Earth, gratitude to the Earth. And I feel a lot of joy and peace in me. That's the way I feel that I have very much connection to this earth. So whatever I do, I'm very aware that I will create something, whether it's peaceful or whether it's not to harm this earth. Whatever I pour on the earth didn't say anything. You see, the earth very much embraces whatever you say, whatever you do, the Mother Earth just embraces with love. She tried to do her best to transform whatever we done to them, this earth, you see? And this earth, and sometimes she couldn't transform fast enough, and then it's created a lot of turbulence to this earth, because we pour so much poisonous to this earth. And the Mother Earth tried to do that transformation, but she couldn't do it fast enough so that our earth. So she have to call for us, call us to say, please stop. You see that? A lot of earthquake, a lot of weather, global warming, a lot of many things happen to our earth today. That is a true calling from the earth without any voice there for us. So if we practice mindful, then we can see, we can listen to that kind of calling. So each of us contribute to the creation of this earth. You know that? Each of us. Whatever we do, we create for our own surrounding environment that we live in. So beginning of the year 2011, we try to do something to make a commitment to live more awareness, in awareness. With one thought, which one step that you make, so that we can save our earth. So on the second day of the new year, I gave a talk. I say that it's the best way is to save our earth is a simple living. Everybody, a simple living, you give yourself more time and you save this earth, less consume in a mindfulness way. If everybody in the earth doing that, we will have enough time to save our earth. And when we have a simple living, you have much time for yourself. We always complain that we don't have enough time. We try to make ourselves busy so that we busy ourselves in that. We create that. And then we come back and complain that I don't have time for myself. You see, we create our own pain, our own prisons, and we come back. And whatever we create is come back for us. So a simple living is very important. When we thought that we need more than what we have. For example, when you buy a car and then you feel, at first you feel happy. It's not nothing wrong to have to buy something that new, but you look back and say whether I need necessary, I need that or not. You see, ask yourself whether it's necessary. It's very important. If something is very important to have, then it's okay to have. You know? But look back, we buy more than what we need. Whenever we go to a shopping mall, we have a tendency to buy, want to buy something that we don't need. See? So when you practice mindful living, that is the way. This is simple living. And we look back in the histories and where all the Zen, all the enlightenment beings, they all have a simple life. Whether Jesus or Buddha or Zen Antonio or whatever, saint, they have a simple living. Even Mother Teresa, the Dalai Lama, they all have a simple living life. The Buddha only have three rope and one bow, and walk around. And he enjoyed life very much for all his 80 years life. And ask ourselves, if we have enough, are we happy? We have more than we need, then ask ourselves whether we are happy or not. That's what we have. But look back, all the saints, all the enlightened beings, they have very simple things, and they live simple life, and they are very much enjoy. They with the nature, very much. So when you walk on the spiritual path, slowly you look back and see what is necessary to have and what is not. So the more you let it go, the more you become light. See? Light in yourself. And your mind is less occupied. You see that? Look at your closet. How many clothes that you have? And your mind is always occupied with that. When you just think of to have something to wear, and your mind is kind of busy already. Think of, you know, which one is fit for me today? What kind of shoes? I put on this pair of clothes, then next thing is shoe. To put on what shoe that show is masses. Suit, you see? So we don't have much time for look back, to look at, back to ourselves, to see more ourselves, to in touch with ourselves. So we make ourselves more heavier. You see, we become a burden to our own. See that? So when you, the more you let go, the more you become light. Outside you look already light, but inside in your heart you become much lighter. In your heart you have more time, more space for yourself. That is the essential for the spiritual practitioner. You have more time to engage in your contemplation. See? That's what you need. So the first thing that we practice is simple living. Simple living so that you have, the more you be a simple, the more you have time for your contemplation, your practice. You have more time to look inward in yourself. The second thing is self-content. It's very important, self-content. Thiếu nhục trí túc, self-content. When you have self-content, then you have less desire. Desire here, you desire for material, desire for materials. Then once you have self-content within your own mind and body, then you become what? Less expectation, you see? And less expectation leading to peace. We expect in our life, if we are busy with material, we expect many and other things. We expect from someone else, right? So for example, you have a desire to buy a cloth. If you have a girlfriend or boyfriend, you expect her for the next Christmas or holiday, she might be buying me this. So what if you expect for yourself, you didn't tell her or him, and then he didn't buy it to you? Then something is going on, right? And you're busy, you keep thinking about that, right? So this desire keeps you busy thinking. So you keep your mind busy. But you have a simple living, you have self-content, then, you know, you say, enough is enough, right? And you have that kind of you feel the enough in you, the self-content in you. Then wherever you go, joy is there, happiness is there. Less expectation. Because when you and on the opposite, less expectation but more giving. You see? You don't expect a lot, but you give. Here you give your time. Can't be your time. It's a giving. Right? It's a giving. Time. So some people, they say that I don't have anything to give. You have many things to give. Just one loving word. It's a giving. It's a big gift. So that to get someone out of a trap, of a imprisoned thinking. Just one word. So that's the kind of giving that I'm talking about. So your mind is at peace, your mind is waking. You can see something beautiful. It's a giving. So don't wait for you to be rich in material. You can be rich in love. And that everybody can have. Right? Nobody is, no exceptions that say that I don't have any love in my heart to give. I don't have any love in my heart to share. You don't treat yourself that. See, you say it's something. You can give a smile, you know. You know, you, somebody in the day is too blue, you give them a smile. And already, you know, give them some energy already. It's better. And then once you have lack expectation, then the fourth thing is what? You less worry, less anxiety. See? Less. Less anxiety. Less fear. So that is what we practice. That is what we gain when we come to the practice, the day of practice. We try to cultivate the self contained in us. So the moment that you make a step, for example, fully you are there and you are self contained. You see? The moment that you are there fully with your own step. And this, you don't have to expect anything. It's there. You are there with the stem. Then that means you are fully there. You are really in a self-content. And once you are there, all this is job off. Job. You know, all this. The last thing I want to share with you today is today, the first day of the Day of Mindfulness of this year, you try to transform. What? Transform the energy of anger in us. And at the New Year's Day, and one person said that I have a lot of hot temper. So this year my resolution is to try to manage my anger. Manage anger. Transform the energy. Oh, hatred. Inness or anger in us. And this energy, we all have this energy in us, more or less. If something that is not go in accordance to what we want, then this energy is already arrived in us, in our consciousness. Right in our consciousness. And what if we just hold on to that energy? Are you at peace with that energy? No. Right? When you have that energy in you, and there's a call by the Buddha, he said that holding on to anger is like grasping on a hot coal, hot charcoal. With the intentions of throwing it at someone else. And you are the one who gets burned. the quote from the Buddha. So if we have that energy in us and we try to spread that energy out, radiate that energy out, and we are the first one get burned, you see? practice is to let go of this emptying in us. So we can transform this energy into what? Love. Hatred is an energy. You see, an energy. If you study physics, you know that it's an energy. Even material that we have, this bell is an energy of condensed energies. This bell is a condensed energy. And our anger is also an energy. So one is, if you have too much, a lot of anger in us, and it condenses as a bomb. It's a solid bomb. It's condensed. That energy is condensed into a bomb. And you see that the people that are making bomb is because they have that energy. So that all the energy is coming, condensed together to make the bomb. An atomic bomb. Nuclear bomb. It's made up of energy. The energy of anger. See, in that, if we look to the wisdom of the Buddha, the wisdom, we can see that this bomb, nuclear bomb, atomic bomb, is an energy that condenses. You see, and then when it explodes, kill 1,000 people. You see? Imagine that. So in us, we have that energy too. So as a practitioner, we practice to recognize that energy. And so we can make peace with ourselves. The more you have the energy of anger in you, the more you become a bomb. It's a hot place. And we create a lot of destructions in that. And I tell you the story. This is one of the stories, the boy who has a lot of anger. 7 years old boy. He has very hot temper. Very easy to get angry. Whenever he wants something, he don't get it. If he don't get it, he get very mad. So one day, so his father don't know what to do with his boy. This boy. So one day he was thinking that. He said that, my son, so now I have, I want you to practice something. So I said that I will give you a bag of nail. Bag of nail. And whenever you, every time you get angry, hot temper, you go to the fence, at the fence of a house, and nail one nail. And nail one hammer, one nail into that fence. So the first day, he nailed 37 nails in the fence, on the fence, said 37. But gradually, day by day, he so day by day, he said he discovered that it's easy to control his temper than go to the fence and nails the nail. Because he's too tired to every time he get angry. So he said that I better do something else instead, you know. So one day he was tired of nailing the fence on the fence. So he go to his father and tell, say, Father, I'm very tired of nailing the fence, the nail on the fence. So I try to manage my anger, control my anger. So the father said, okay, from now on, every time you're able to manage the anger, go to the fence, take off one nail. So he listened to his father. So every time he able to control his anger, manage his anger, he go to the fence and took one nail. So one day, you know, many he practiced for a while. So one day he able to, on that day he didn't have any anger. So he's come to his father. He said that, "Father, now I'm able to manage my anger and I'm able to took off all the nails from the fence." I said, "Oh," the father's so happy. He said, "Ah, I'm so happy for you." So what he does is he holds his son's hand and walked to the fence and told him, he said, "You see what you took off all the fence, but you see what left on the fence? What is left on the fence?
Holes.
Holes." I say, "Father." Father say, "You see, you did it well, but you see, you took off all the nails that, but now you still left a hole there. The fence is not the same. Same fence. It has to be full." So the son realized that. And he said that when you anger, you say something to somebody. That's what happened. Even though you say sorry a million times, you say sorry, but the scar still lives there. The scar is still there. That's the lesson he teaches them. You say that, so from now on, every time you feel yourself get hot, and you know that you could be angry, so please don't say anything. You've been saying many things, it's hurting me. The same thing's offend. So whatever, I know you say sorry, but it's not. Still leave something in me. Same thing, when you are angry, you say something to somebody out of ignorance. Maybe you don't mean it, but because you're angry, that control you, right? So in the starting 2011, we try to be transform all this energy in us so that we don't create destruction for ourselves. The first thing you utter our words with anger, you already hurt yourself. You hurt yourself already. Don't say that you hurt someone. You hurt yourself. So if we don't able to manage that, and later on we're sorry, and then it's okay to say sorry, but you already make some damage there. You see, so all the things that we practice, simple living, self-content, less expectation, less worry, leading to happiness, to support us to practice this in our everyday life. Maybe at your work, maybe at your school, maybe at your house. If we don't able to manage ourselves, and this energy always happens, it's always it's in us. It's a seed in us. So whether you give it the right condition, it's manifest, right? It's manifest. You bring in the condition. Unfavorable condition. Then it's happened, you see? So when this energy is arising in you, what do you do? That's the trick. That's the key. What do you do when this energy is arising in you? The first thing is to slow down. Don't act on that energy. Normally, we've been carried by that energy right away. Because that energy is too strong, and we acting our right way, we carry by that, we control by that energy. So the first thing is to slow down, step back. When you step back, and then you're able to calm yourself down a little bit, you give yourself some space, You give yourself some space too, so that you can calm down. And you send a hand. Then you bring in the energy of clarity, the energy of mindfulness. Give, set light on that. You see? When you set light into the energies of anger, the energy of aggressions, then you're able to slow down. You see the destruction it will create. Then you're able to slow down. Don't let the energy of hatred, aggressions, irritations take over. But normally that would happen. When that happened, we let it take over right away. This is, take some training. You know, you can, it needs training yourself. Anything that you do needs training, needs some kind of training. Even go on a job, you know, a simple job, then you already need some training. But this is the hardest work. But we at least give us very little time and little training. And how can we manage that? You see? In order to be professional in some, in what kind, in any areas of work, we need a lot of training. Yes, we know. But in the field of to be live a mindful living, to be control our anger, we give so much, so little time in our training, in our to look back, you see, and how when it's happened, how can we go manage it? I don't understand. We don't have time for that. We are so busy. Our society is constructed in a way that everybody is busy. You see? Everybody is busy. Children is busy. Adult is busy. Even senior, busy. You see? So we have to look back and see how can we have time for ourselves? How can we have time to slow down? Slow down here, I mean, is to slow down your habitual pattern, habitual tendencies. Don't let the habit of energy, of anger take over you. If you don't slow down, you push yourself, then you'll be swept by this energy when it's come. And this is all in us. It's all in us. See that? And when this energy comes, it doesn't matter whatever work you do, you don't enjoy it. You see? It occupies you, body and mind. And wherever you do, whatever you do, it becomes irritation. Whoever you're around, they don't enjoy to be around you. Right? You don't enjoy to be like hot fire, right? When there is a fire, you don't want to be around. You get burned. Burned by that. You want to be around someone who have a lot of calm, have a lot of freshness. You don't want to be around someone that have a lot of hot temper, a lot of irritations. So if you want to have more friends, and you know, then you be calm. Make yourself to be a fountain of nectar. Water, nectar water. So, by the way, do not is to, the way of carry that out is to have a simple living. So you have time to look back to yourself. Have time to contemplate. Have time to embrace your anger. Anger is something is, it's like, if you know how to use charcoal, then charcoal can boil water, can do many things for us too, right? In a cold winter, we need some hot charcoal, right? So we know how to use our anger. It's a fixing way, in a way that transforms that. So it becomes something useful. You can turn around that is give you a lot of energies to do many things, to be loving, to be caring, to be tenering. Yes? So if we are, you are wise, you turn that around. Yeah. So nothing is waste in Buddhism, you know. Nothing is waste in Buddhism. If we are a transformer, could transform anything. Transform peace, anger into peace, into love, into care. You can transform irritations, aggressions, into compassion, into joy. You know, you are the one. You are the authors of transformer. So make yourself transform everything. All this is like mud and garbage. So you are good. If you are a good, skillful gardener, you can make many flower. You know, produce many flower. It's beautiful. We don't run away all this, but we work with it, transform it. So in Buddhism, we don't waste anything. All these mental formations, we turn around and make good, produce good products. And it's beautiful, you know, if it's beautiful, we know how to practice and have time for it. You know, the thing is to slow down, have some time for yourself, have a simple living. Simple living is a joyful living, it's a healthy living, you know. For example, you have a simple breakfast, oatmeal with yogurt, beautiful. And you know, but if you have a complicated, complex dinner, maybe it's not healthy, simple. Yeah. So simple is so that you create time for yourself, you know, and when you have time, and you are there, everything is there. It's a miracle happen. You have time for your meditations, you see. You say that, oh, I don't have time for my meditations. I'm too busy. You see, because you have a complex life. So you're so busy. But if you have a simple life, then you have much time for meditation in the morning, in the afternoon, or in the evening. You know? You have to make that commitment and make yourself a gift. A simple living is a gift, you know. It's a gifted living. So when you're able to transform your anger, let go of your anger, is the way to be with things. So you, when you're able to see things as they are, because when the energy of anger is absent, and the energy, that means your energy of calmness is there, then you're able to see the reality of everything around you. Things become clear, you know, you become clear. Because your mind is much vacant, you see. When your mind is vacant, you see things clear. Yesterday, there was working at the building, and he have something was dropping. It's a nail, right? So he couldn't find for 15 minutes. So I just calmed down. He said, can you look for a nail for me? And I just said, it's there. It's in front. His mind was so busy looking, right? He was busy looking for the nail. But right in front of him. And he looked for 15 minutes. And I come down and he said, can you look for a nail for me? And I say, how come it's there and you don't see it? He said, oh, I have a better eyesight. You see, and when your mind is empty, it's like that. You can see things. It's very sharp. What you see is very, become very sharp and very clear. It's in front of your eyes. Because why he don't see it? Because he's so busy looking. And I didn't busy looking. I just come down and I say, why is there? And because my mind is not busy looking. That's it. So that's the example. Just yesterday, he was working and I was. So when your mind is busy, it's hard to see things clear. If someone, even though the beautiful things in front of your eye, you don't see it clearly. So that's why the miracle is not happening. But when your eye is empty, your mind is empty, everything you see, think clearly. You embrace things. So put that in practice, you know. So three things, five things I want to share with you. Self-content. The self-content is the essence of happiness. Because sometimes we think that we have more things than the more happy we are. Then if we say that, then it's the rich people, then they're already happy. Yes, the rich people, they're already happy because they have a lot of money to buy things. Then they should be happy. But in reality, they are not. You see? I know many rich family and they're not happy. First, we thought that we buy these things, this pen, then we're happy. Then it's very momentarily happy. It's very external happy. We have it, and then we become dislike or bored of it. It's like that. Because we are not self-content. The same thing that when you look, go and look for a girlfriend, you say, oh, I have ten her or him, I will be happy. But once you get him or her, you get bored. Yeah? Because your mind, what is your mind is not satisfied. Whether she is beautiful at the first moment, and the next moment somehow you get bored of her already, or him already. Because the mind is not self-content. So if your mind is self-content, you say, oh, she is there, she is beautiful in many ways. I will discover her fully with many good qualities. Then you can see when your mind is empty, you can see many beautiful qualities in him or her. And then you cultivate that, you nourish that, and both be happy. But if your mind is not self-content, one is not enough, and many is not enough also. You see, it's like that. So contemplate on that, see, and make the quality of self-content grow in yourself. It's quality of self-content. If you read the eight realizations of great beings, you can see that in the teachings. See that the monk who have three rope and one bow, and that is his belonging. And if he's self-content, then he'll be happy. The eight realizations of grieving. The more desire you have, the more suffering you are. In that teachings, the more desire you have, the more pain you get. Because you never satisfied with that desire. And imagine that desire is like fire. It burns us day and night. In the teaching of the Buddha, he gives a symbolic teaching. It's like desire is like fire. It burns you constantly. Imagine that you wish for something and you never attend, and that burns you day and night. It's burning in us day and night. So he gave an example, it's like a flame burning day and night. Imagine if you are in that situation, burning you day and night, are you happy? No. And that's why many rich people, they have very momentary happiness because they have a lot of desire of making money. And they have a lot of fear because the more you have, the more fear you are, you know. And it will be taken away. The wing will be taken away from you. The Buddha said that the wing will take away from your richness in the material. The fire will burn from it. The earth will take away everything you have. That's one day will take away. That's its external possessions. It will be taken away from earth, from water, from fire, from winds. And that's true, you know, in California, in many places, when you have a house, and suddenly the storm comes and track down, and you get nothing. See? It's the wind taken away from you already. And if you live in a mountain and, you know, one day you have big fire, and you are in fear of your house to be burned away. You see, the fire was taken away from our material richness. You see? And that's the Buddha tells us that if you don't have the internal richness, the richness of love and kindness, the richness of peace inside yourself, that is, nobody can take away from you. Internally, nobody can take away from you that quality. The richness of love, the richness of patience, the richness of embracing. Nobody can take it away from you from that. But you can develop that and grow that day by day with your practice. And you don't have to worry, you don't have to be feared that you lost that, right? Yeah. So if we practice, we develop that. And wherever you go, you're very rich. You're the richest person. Just like the Buddha. He has nothing, but he's very rich, right? He's rich, and he always give. He always give, but he never run out. Right? He never is. And so we learn from the Buddha. We try to cultivate that kind of quality within us, so that we become rich in that way. It's beautiful. So today I just want to share with you this with these five things so that you can have some contemplation, do some contemplation on that and cultivate that and make that alive in you. That's important. What I say is just on word, only sharing with my own experience. But once you cultivate it day by day, you make it, you turn it around and make it your become one with you. That's the important thing. And then that's where you really taste this quality. That's where you get the transformations. You cannot get, you have my, what I'm saying, you, it's a shy light, open the pathway for you. But then you take it and contemplate it in every breath of your, every step that you make. Then you make it alive in you. So that's the important things for you to, that's your job, that's your work, to turn it around and cultivate that. So we will stop here. We will have our lunch together. We have lunch in here. Enjoy our lunch together. And TT and many, some of us also, make food and for us to eat so that we can have time for practice together.
TT also asked me to communicate to everybody that when she makes the meal, she doesn't like to get thanks because she puts the meal and her energy into it, into emptiness. So if you have thanks for her, if you just want to put that into the emptiness as well, she would be much more appreciated.
So, yeah, so thank you, every one of you. So, after lunch, we will have a total relaxation. So, Lisa, can you do total relaxation? For you to have some relax. And then after total relaxation, we will have meditation again. And after meditation, we will have Dhamma discussion to bring into every one of you inside and sharing. So I would like to invite the bell to conclude my sharing here. So thank you for your patience and listening. So please sit back and take a few deep breaths.